passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
All right. Welcome back to another Baseball America Prospect Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me today is Taylor Blake Ward. We're going through the Angels' top prospects. Welcome to the show, Taylor. How are you, man?
I'm good, Jeff. Good seeing you and good chatting. Everything's good, buddy. A little cold, like we were talking about, but I can get past it.
You're in the snowy Southern California area, which for those that don't know Southern California geography all that well or topography, they might be a little surprised by that. But yeah, you let me know that you're up in elevation there, so you got more snow than I got out here in Boston. So
yeah, I think you're a little colder, but yeah, it's we got 3 feet of snow last week, and you know, a lot of people don't know that Southern California has mountains that are capable of doing that. Yeah. So it's but I mean, I got a bad baseball itch earlier today. I've been wanting to play for a while, but like we were saying, just not able to do it right now with snow covered fields.
And like my youngest son and I will throw pretty much year round, and then it hits kind of like mid-January, we start to get some snow on the ground and it doesn't melt overnight. And it's like, all right, it's kind of tough to go out there and, you know, toss around a ball when it's icy and snowy. So I understand that. Hopefully it's melting for me soon and you as well, and we can get back to it. But we're here to talk about some Angels. They've been in the headlines a bit over this offseason. I would say for some good and for some bad, but mostly for bad. I don't think that's any shock with this organization over the last several years. You know, in some ways, a bit like a Shakespearean comedy or tragedy, the way that's all worked out. But Angels lose Shohei Ohtani this offseason, of course. That's obviously a major headline. They head into camp. Mike Trout's back. His comments, he seems ready to go. His teammate Anthony Rendon, not so much. We'll talk about that in a minute. But let's talk about the departure of Ohtani, sort of what that means to this team going forward. And I mean, they weren't making the playoffs with Ohtani, so it's not like the expectations might change, but not necessarily the result. So how do they push forward at this point? Because obviously that is a franchise altering player, though it didn't have the intended effect over time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about a guy that, you know, you're filling two holes just losing him. You need someone that's going to be a DH, and not only a DH, someone that's hitting it at the top of the league, you know, an all-star caliber hitter while also replacing an all-star caliber front of the rotation arm. And I know that Shohei had a, you know, Tommy John again here, but you're losing so much. You know, we talk about analytics and war, you know, you're losing 10 wins by losing Shohei Ohtani here. And where are you going to find those wins? And so far, I don't think they're going to find it. I don't think you can find it. And obviously not with one player, but even with two or three players, you know, the aggregate is going to be tough to find. Losing Shohei, not only for the market's sake, we don't know the exact dollar figure that Shohei Ohtani brings into the Angels. Only Artie Moreno and his, financiers would know that, but it's going to take a huge hit on the finances. Shohei Ohtani brought a massive crowd. He brought big sponsorship with him. So there's an on-field value that you lose, and there's an off-field value that you lose. But I think Mike Trout put it simply is, you know, kind of expected him to be not an Angel, and it kind of was leaning that he was going to be a Dodger this whole time. That's the way it felt, maybe even internally. So, you know, there are questions about how the clubhouse reacted, how the clubhouse was, but it's not going to change the fact that you lost 10 wins on the field, and you lost millions upon millions of dollars off the field as well.
Yeah, and it's obviously nearly impossible to replace that player. You can't do it with one. It would be very hard to do with two, and you'd have to spend quite a bit of money to obviously be able to do that. But looking at the lineup now, you do have Mike Trout. Let's talk a little bit about what's on the lineup that and what's, you know, on the 26-man roster that has been homegrown and produced by this organization. They've jettisoned some guys to the major leagues over the last couple of years, straight out of the draft, more or less. So they do actually have some homegrown talent at the major league level. Let's talk a little bit about that, Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think the 1-2 punch in your lineup before you get to Mike Trout and Anthony Rendon is going to be Taylor Ward. And I think a lot of people forget that Taylor Ward was a homegrown talent or is a homegrown talent. But I think Taylor Ward is going to be hitting somewhere near the front of the lineup, either the one spot or the two spot. Maybe you move him back if you can find someone that's going to get on base a little bit more than others in the lineup. And Nolan Schonwell. I think Nolan Schonwell from day one is going to be somewhere in that front order. I don't know if the you know, the old school speed factor of having a fast guy ahead of your big hitters is going to play, but he's a guy that's going to get on base for you. It seems like, you know, small sample size at the major league level. And we're banking on things that he did a year ago at Florida Atlantic, but same time, I think those are two homegrown guys. You look at a guy like Luis Ranjifo, who another guy you forget is a homegrown talent. And you're looking at the back of your lineup a little bit more with a Zach Neto, Logan Ohapi, Luis Ranjifo, depending on where they play these guys. But Zach Neto, real exciting player. I don't know if the he's going to be an off the charts kind of performance guy, but he is a shortstop, and every team needs a reliable, true shortstop, and that's what he's going to provide for them. Same as Logan Ohapi is going to be a true, genuine backstop at catcher for them. Thing with Logan Ohapi is I think the upside is immense. I think Logan Ohapi showed it last year. He was on like a 40-45 home run pace if he would have stayed healthy all year long, which I don't think he's going to be a 40 plus home run guy, but this is a guy that has some power and he's going to be able to catch for you, and he's shown that he can get on base and hit a little bit. He's a good athlete, so they do have some young talent, particularly in the lineup. You know, Neto, Ohapi, Schonwell. You know, if we're talking about guys like Taylor Ward and Luis Ranjifo, Taylor Ward obviously would be the superior of the two, but Ranjifo kind of gets the job done in that super utility role. And, you know, we get into the pitching staff and it gets a little trickier. You know, Reed Detmers, I think if we take it at face value, I think Reed Detmers has been what he's supposed to be. You know, kind of a mid rotation, back end rotation arm. And I don't think anyone was expecting him to be the ace of the staff, but that's kind of what he's kind of. That's a little bit of the asking price for 2024 and beyond right now is Reed Detmers might be your number one for the Angels right now. Very good homegrown pitcher, very good starting pitcher, a legitimate starting pitcher, but I think he would fit much better as a mid-rotation 3-4-5 arm.
Yeah.
Chase Silseth, very young, came in, and I like Chase Silseth stopped a couple losing streaks last year, pitched really well against the Yankees, the Braves, very talented teams. I think we're just kind of scratching the surface a little bit on Silseth, but another guy that, you know, he's an 11th, 12th rounder, signed way over slot, was horrible at Arizona, and then a year later he's in the majors. Yeah. And I think we're just scratching the surface of Silseth, and I'm not going to sit there and say that he's going to be the saving grace. But I think he's going to be a pretty good pitcher for them. And I think he's going to be able to stay in the rotation, which is important. And then you've got, I mean, after this winter, the Angels have 50 options for their bullpen. They spend a lot of money on relief. They have a lot of internal depth that they're going to touch into. Sam Bachman is going to be a starter in development still. I'm a little iffy on that. I think a lot of people are that aren't the Angels. But Sam Bachman is a guy you could throw in relief. Ben Joyce, a unicorn, you know, Lollapalooza, the guy throws 105 miles per hour and he sits 101, which is just so exciting. But, you know, they have young guys that are coming in from the system that are interesting. But at the same time, you have to find impact. And right now, outside of Seanwell and Neto and Ohapi and Detmers, and I guess you could date back to Taylor Ward as well, I'm not so sure how that's going to fare.
Yeah, you know, it seems like they are just the bones of some of a decent roster is here. There are just obviously a couple of pieces away. I think what you highlighted with the rotation is spot on. There was a lot of guys in this rotation, frankly, like all five, that you really more want as you feel more comfortable as your 3, 4, 5 guys. You know, if you have a 1 and a 2, you go out and you sign. Let's say you went out and you signed Blake Snell. You followed that up with Jordan Montgomery. You push Reed Detmers down to 3. Then it's Canning at 4, Sandoval at 5. That's a pretty good rotation. You got, you know, Silseth and Anderson sort of as rotation depth. You kind of need 7 starters going into the season. And then you're like a big bat or 2 away. They tried to go out and do that a few years ago. And I know his name has been out there in the media. The comments have been discussed quite a bit. That's Anthony Rendon. It would be nice to see a bounce back from him. But at this point, how much faith is lost? I mean, how many years are left in this contract, too? 2?
I think 3. Let's see, 2020, 21. You're right. He's got 2 left. 2 left.
Okay, yeah, 2. That made sense. So 2 more years in this contract. He obviously has not delivered at all as an Angel. He goes out, he makes those comments about family and faith coming in front of baseball. I don't think that's all that crazy. If anything, it's kind of a throwaway comment because of who he is and all that. So you have perspective on this. Obviously, you know, you're around the team, fan of the team, and following it, covering it for a long time. So talk to me a little bit about how those comments were perceived and what your take is on it.
You know, I think you and I were talking about it when you watch the tape of the recording, because I'm not in Arizona, sadly, but you watch the interview itself. Anthony's just being Anthony. You know, he's got some sarcasm to him. He's just being himself. And he comes out and says, you know, baseball is not my number one priority. It's my family and my faith. And I think, you know, you're a family man, Jeff, and we can attest to that as married men and you have kids. I think the comment that got lost is the part where he says, I can't play with my kids because I hurt so much. And, you know, you kind of empathize with the guy, but at the same time, you have to sit there and say, you and I talked about it. I really like my job. I get to write about baseball and I enjoy it. If I didn't, I would still be doing it because it's my job and I have to provide for my family. So I understand that aspect of it, but I'm also not getting paid $30-something million a year to do it. So there is an expectation to the craft. So if he is making the attempt to play and do his job to the capability and the financial situation he's in, then yeah, I think it's going to be something that's accepted fine. You know, if he's putting his foot forward and saying, I'm going to play baseball really well, because not only am I, you know, do I owe my boss that because that's what I'm getting paid to do, but also it's what I provide for my family with, then sure, you know, that's a different thing. But I think more than anything, it's the perspective of Anthony Rendon. Yeah. This is a guy that is very outspoken to a sense. And when he's not outspoken, he's dead silent. And that could be really frustrating. So I think the biggest thing, he's only played, I want to say, I feel like
200 games on the nose.
200? Okay, I was going to say it was 162, so he's got a little more than I thought. But
50 games a year for $35 million a year.
Exactly. Contract. Some of that is very fluky. You know, these injuries are not something that we just run across where it's like he pulls his hamstring every other week kind of deal. These are things that are very odd and very tough to get through, you know, deep tissue bleeding. You don't hear that a lot. So yeah. I think when it comes to Anthony, these last 2 years, you know, you've already paid him, what was it, $120 million or $200, you know, however much money you've already paid him and invested towards him. But what he does on this back half is going to be really important to how he's perceived. I'd love to see Anthony come back. I mean, that left-handed home run against Brett Phillips is one of the most exciting things over the last couple of years when it comes to the Angels during a no-hitter of all things. You know, I think Anthony's fine. I think he's a good guy. I think he has his priorities straight. But at the same time, when you're getting paid $30-something million a year to play baseball, you have to commit yourself to baseball as well.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, when he signed at the time, he was coming off, you know, for all intents and purposes, a 7-WAR season, was one of the best all-around players in the game, and has not been able to play, you know, get on the field. And when he's been on the field, has been okay, but yeah, has not been as impactful as you thought, particularly from a power perspective. The lineup really needs that this year. So maybe maybe Anthony Rendon is now driven to make us all eat crow, and he's going to he's going to rake.
All for it. 40 home run season incoming.
We're going to get it. We're going to get into the actual top 30 list. We're going to start talking top 10 in a minute. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break right now.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Why do I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America? Because it takes so much of the busy work out of hiring and does it for me. I can find highly qualified candidates in one place, set up interviews, and communicate with them all on Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So you use Indeed. As you use it more, the better it gets. And listeners to this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. And we are back. It's Jeff Ponce, Baseball America Prospect Podcast. We're talking Angels prospects with Taylor Blake Ward. Taylor, all right, we're getting into the top 10 here now. Let's talk about the top three. I know we talked a little bit about Nolan Shanahan. We can talk about him if you'd like. Or we can talk about Caden Dana. We can talk about Nelson Rada. Full list is up on the site, but where do you want to go first?
I'm fine. I was sitting here thinking about how are we going to talk about 30 guys or whatever, because the Angels have what I would call three impact prospects, and those are the three. So I'm fine going any direction. I just, you know, beyond those, I think more than anything, once we get beyond those three, you have so many questions about what is this prospect going to become. There's plenty of upside. There's plenty of talent. It's not that the Angels lack talented players, but it's, are these role players? Are these utility players? Are they relievers? Those are the only three guys that I sit there and say, those are bona fide, legitimate Major League Baseball players. And I guess we could start with Nolan Shanahan. You know, we mentioned it. He's not even a year removed from college. And he was only 40 days removed from college when he goes and plays in the majors, right? He is going to be the first graduate of the Angels prospect list, because I think the day after opening day, he will be ineligible. Based on days and other things. But, you know, there's a guy that he had astigmatism in his right eye prior to his junior year. And prior to his junior year, he had a contact lens put in. And I feel like that changed everything, because I had plenty of questions about Nolan Shanahan. I was not a believer that this small program bat was going to do anything, that was a first base only guy. And you're taking him 11th overall and giving him 8th overall money, and I was very questionable about that. But then finding out that he had the corrective lens put in and talking with him, the cadence for hitting is remarkable, and I really do think this guy is going to hit. What I saw from him last year in his early pro stints, his swing was downhill, and I'd always heard that his swing was uphill. So I wonder if there was some mechanical adjustments that were going on, and maybe time off away from baseball that made him just – there was no power. He hit for no power. He wasn't hitting the ball hard. And I wonder if there may have been a mechanical item at the time that we're going to see and find out very soon here in spring training if he actually does possess power. But I think there's a guy that he's going to make enough contact. He's going to hit for a reasonably high average. And when you do that and you're that big and have that kind of body, you're going to run into home runs. So I don't question that he's going to be a guy that's going to run into 20 home runs a year. But are we going to see a guy that's going to grow into or have a swing plane and bat speed that's going to turn into 30-plus home runs or anything along those lines? So I there are still questions about Schonwell, but the hitting tool and the cadence for hitting and the on-base ability, I truly believe in. I think he's going to be a heck of a hitter and a heck of a baseball player. Just may not fit that prototypical first base profile.
Yeah. Internally, we have a good comp on Nolan Schonwell, and that's Mark Grace. And it's it's a really good comp. And I think people forget Grace even sort of during the 90s.
He led Major League in hits across
the 90s.
He
led the 90s in hits. That's right. But he wasn't a huge power hitter, even though he played in a power hitting park, was a solid first baseman, like I think Schonwell could be. Never really, you know, had that power. Now, Schonwell obviously did it at FAU. Prior summer in the Cape, I saw a lot of him because he was here for probably 50 games. I mean, he was here from the first week all the way until through the playoffs. Never hit a ball 100 miles an hour. His hardest hit ball in the Cape was 99 miles an hour. So that had stuck with me. And then he went out and obviously at FAU, like, rakes. And then comes into pro ball. And immediately the data that we were getting on the batted ball side was like back to what it was in the Cape. So I don't know if it's an adjustment and maybe a comfort thing with Wood as well.
That was a huge question.
But it could possibly be something. I mean,
it was a huge question about how he would handle Wood bats because of his Wood bat track record. And you saw it. And I like that I'm talking to someone that's seen it that's not a scout, because it's nice to have the data and everything. But, it was the biggest question. Was can he handle a Wood bat? And now that we're talking about that, you know, the one thing I will say is when he recognized that he had the astigmatism and had it fixed, and that's when he kind of went off at FAU, that's where I'm sitting there waiting for that moment of, yes, this is real, or no, it's not. And the power is kind of where the yes, it's real kind of comment would come from. So I like that. I like that we were mentioning that. And I have a comp for you when it comes to Nolan Schonwell. Throw in Nick Johnson in there.
Okay.
And by the way, I don't think Nolan's going to have I don't think he's going to have a career 400 on base percentage, but at the same time, you know, Mark Grace, Nick Johnson, I think it's
the high level hit tool, you know.
Yeah.
It's an unusual profile. I think in this draft, there were some legitimate questions just for the upside that was around them. I think if you look at the Angels' track record and certainly maybe a lack of continuity within certain positions, whether it's in coaching or player development, et cetera, maybe getting guys that are a little bit closer isn't so bad, with a guy like Schonwell. And I saw the best of Zach Nato the previous summer as well. I love him. I'll say straight up, I think he's going to hit for more power than what we've seen. We saw the underlying exit velocity data is pretty good. I think he's going to elevate more. And he's a phenomenal shortstop. Into the Cape that year, he was kind of an afterthought. He actually got cut by Katuit and then picked up by Brewster. And like from the first week on until he got hurt, actually, it was at the game where he got hurt at Chatham. And then, I mean, he was like the best player. It was him and DeLauder were the two best players in the Cape. He gets hurt, misses a bunch of time, and then they made the playoffs and like, he did something crazy. It was like a high ankle sprain. Like I thought he was done for the summer, and he came back like just for the playoffs and like played through the injury, gutted it out and won the championship. But he actually moved Trey Faltini, who was at Texas at the time, was considered one of the best defensive infielders in college baseball. I showed up to Brewster expecting that Faltini was the shortstop and it was Nato. And I was like, okay. And then he homered and it was like, all right. he's a skinny guy. Like, I'm not going to say there's a ton of bulk that could be added to that. I think there's 15, 20 pounds of muscle lurking there in the next 4 years.
I agree. Yeah.
Your body changes once you hit 24, 25. Like you get thicker, you get broader, like just in general. I think he's someone who's going to add strength. That wouldn't surprise me at all. And he's got a great attitude, really supportive family. Love the parents. They're outspoken and supportive.
I'm 100% with you. You talk about excitement, right? And Zach Neto is that excitement. I love the kid. He's such a great kid. And like you said, his family is astonishing. You know, Joaquin and his dad, it's just, he plays with so much flair. And I think the thing that with Zach is, you know, you see the leg kick and it throws you off, right? The leg kick is the first thing you see. It throws you off. But the barrel control with the violence involved is like, he has bat control with violence and he can add weight. It's like, man, this guy, and you know, I think,
and he barely played in the minors. I think that's
hardly at all. This guy went
from a mid-major, like barely played in the minors, right? Like that's the other part of it. It's like, does he even have 500 minor league at bats?
Oh no, he's got. I don't think he's 100.
I think it might be more than that because the year before, right? Because he had,
you know what, he had. I'm gonna pull it up as we chat. He only had 22 games, I think, in the minors, from what I remember. This guy's just very exciting in general. Let me see. Minor leagues, 217 plate appearances.
Wow. So there you go.
Yeah. So
there's some, you know, with baseball, there's an adjustment period when guys get up. You kind of got to get like 1,200 at bats. It's kind of like your 10th hour, that whole theory. I think it's the same thing with guys like this. So I do think with him and Shanuel, there is potential upside this season that those guys could produce more than, you know, we were even anticipating.
I agree. And same with Logan Ohapi, you know, get him on the field regularly, get the reps. I mean, you know, there are three very, very good young players. Oh, great.
That was a great move by the Angels. I mean, they don't necessarily get credit for when they make great moves, but
they might the Phillies. Give Dombrowski too. Yeah, I mean, you know, Philly's got their answer with Brandon, another great guy. But yeah, I mean, just incredible. It's weird how that kind of plays out when something positive happens. The Angels don't get credit for it, do they?
Yeah, I know, exactly. I think it's like I cover the Rockies year-round, so I get it. It's like the same thing where it's like, no, they actually draft pretty good players. It's just like the way the Major League team is managed is an issue. And I think that's what people latch on to, is how things are managed at the Major League level, because they can watch the games, they can follow the stories, they can see the trades, they know those players, you know, where they're not seeing like the minor leagues. It's kind of like the waves underneath the ocean, right? It's what's causing that stuff you're seeing at the top, but you're not seeing the action down there.
No, and it's interesting. It's I think a lot of it starts from the very top, right? The very top, and then slowly funnels down, and you have to make opinions based on how it funnels down.
Exactly. You know what? We don't talk whole top five. I do want to sort of hone in a little bit and get your opinion on Caden Dana. Looks the part, you know, prototypical pitcher build, 6'4", broad shoulders, strong, kind of has that workhorse sort of body. New Jersey prep guy, cold weather arm, really good stuff. Interesting characteristics on the fastball as well. He's somebody that I tune into a lot of West Coast games. I get back from the park out here on the East around a certain time. You know, those California League games are coming on, the Northwest League games are coming on. So I'm tuning in a lot to these teams. I really like what I saw from Dana. Maybe one of the more underrated pitching prospects, just from the potential, the package, you know, kind of has all the tools, checks all the boxes for me.
Oh, I agree 100%. And, you know, talking to Kyle Glazer, I know, you know, Kyle's not with Baseball America anymore at this point, but talking with him, I said, did Nelson Rada or Caden Dana get any mention when it came to the top 100? And I said, I wasn't expecting at all, but I thought Caden Dana is young command away from being a very good pitcher. And I say young command because he's only 20 years old. And you can see that the fastball command is a little off to make him that next level guy, but he's got legitimate pitches across the board. He knows what he's doing, and mentally, I think is the big thing. Is, you know, he might make a mistake. He might make a mistake. The next pitch will not be. He knows immediately how to find success, how to get out. So this is a guy that I'm very high on. And like you said, one of the more underrated arms in baseball, probably a workhorse type. I did not like the Noah Syndergaard comparisons when he was coming out of the draft. I really like him now. I think, you know, minus the velocity of Noah Syndergaard when he was coming up kind of thing, the Noah Syndergaard that we've seen the last couple of years, maybe not the last 2 years, but just a very good pitcher. And I hate how simple that sounds, but it's true. There's a guy that just has an arsenal that's going to play. The fastball is going to work. It's just, can he refine his command just enough? And then as soon as he does that, you know, you're going to see him take steps and be in the majors, I think, very quickly. Even if it wasn't the Angels, I think he's one of those guys that has the polish to kind of be up very quickly.
Yeah, and I think the thing with him, too, is, you know, you mentioned the command, which is always kind of the last piece, but there's so many guys now in the minors where they jump on the Stuff Plus model. The data jumps out to you, right? But they're 5'11", 6 feet, 6'1", maybe skinny, undersized. That's not a starter. It's just so hard in the major leagues to, number one, stay healthy while pitching. It's not a natural motion. But to be able to accumulate innings, you have to have major leaguers are big guys. I think people get so caught up in how big football players are or how tall basketball players are that they don't realize that, like, the average major leaguer is 6'2", 215, 220 pounds of muscle, you know, and that's the average, right? The Mookies, those guys, the Jose Ramirez's. The Jose Altuves, those guys are the outliers. They are the anomalies. There are so many 6'4 guys, especially if you're around a pitching staff. And I'm 6 feet, 205, 210, depending upon the day. And like, I feel pretty small around some pitching staffs from time to time, you know, not around shortstops and infielders.
Well, that's what I was talking to
an average human being. You know, I think people forget that. You need to be sort of that big. And that's the thing with Dana for me is, you know, you're talking about a young guy here that has good stuff. He checks all those boxes analytically. And then on top of it, he has that power pitcher build, which is really like, that's the combination that we're all looking for right now. You know, you can jump on the metrics, you can jump on the Stuff Plus models, but if you're not going to be able to, you know, go out there every, you know, 5-6 days and throw, that's a major issue. You know, and I'll also say, like, I understand the Noah Syndergaard comp, but not really. The fastball quality for Dana is much better than Syndergaard's ever was. Even prime Syndergaard, it was all velocity, really not anything unusual release. He's never been a high hop guy. Where Dana's like 18 to 20 inches of IVB, pretty like on average, heavy bore, like 11 to 13, sometimes 14 inches of horizontal break on top of that. It's a pretty efficient four-seam fastball, and you know, I think there's more to come too. So
that, I agree. And
interesting pitch mix.
And going back to the body, I was talking to a longtime scouting director about this. I said, when is a pitcher too short? And he said, well, what am I looking for? Am I looking for a starting pitcher or a reliever? And I said, you know, what's your starter? You're looking in the first round here for a starter. And he says, the guy is under 6'2", I'm going to have a lot of questions. So the fact that Caden is 6'4", 200 pounds or 200 plus pounds is remarkable. The one thing, the problem with Dana, he did get shut down. And the Angels did call it workload management. While there was a little bit of conversation about arm fatigue when it came to him, it wasn't an injury that took him out per se. But this is a guy that now we're in an age of baseball where workload management is very important. Maybe not to the equivalent of what's going on in the NBA, but you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the Angels do with him this next year if they actually give him 100 to 150 innings in development. And it's going to be a big sign when it comes to him. But like you said, you know, Caden Dana has all the markers of what you're looking for and someone that you're going to throw a mid rotation grade on, a 50 grade mid-rotation arm that's going to go out, put a 100 ERA plus, be league average, or maybe 100, you know, above 100 plus ERA plus. But this is just a very reliable arm when it comes to projection.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move on to sort of the back end of the top 10 here. We talked a little bit at the top. These are our three legitimate prospects. From 4 to 10, who's the guy that you do believe in within that group the most? We got some relievers here. We got mostly relievers.
I was going to say, is Ben Joyce too easy? Is Ben Joyce way too easy to say that's going to be the guy? I'll say the guy that, it's not the guy I believe in the most, but the guy that I think has the most upside and is very close to tapping into is Denzer Guzman. He is a legitimate shortstop. He has a cadence, a rhythm, full-blown legitimate shortstop. Probably, I don't think I threw a 7 grade on his arm, but it's close. It's a 6 grade on the arm. Mm-hmm. You can move him over to third, but I wouldn't. I'd keep him at shortstop. Even if Neto is there, I'd do some maneuvering there. This is a guy that looks so hitterish, has power, has a hit tool, looks the part. He cannot hit same side breaking balls right now. And he is 18 years old, 18, 19 years old. And you're talking about him going to the Cal League facing 22, 23, 24 year olds that are throwing that maybe the slider is the only good pitch they have and they're just bearing it on him. So when it comes to performance, he didn't have the prettiest on paper performance, even for his age in the league. But I saw later in the season, he was able to hit changeups a little bit better. And he was holding back. Even if it was a strike, he was recognizing spin. He was recognizing it was a slider. He was taking on it. And maybe it landed in the zone. Maybe it didn't. And I think once he can figure out a way to hit a breaking ball, this is going to be a guy that's going to really blossom into a potential everyday player. And that's someone that I think is really exciting is Denzer Guzman. Kyron Paris, we've seen the growth of him over the years. Really like Kyron Paris. I know we didn't touch on Nelson Rada, but I think Nelson Rada is really great. I think he's so advanced at the plate. He knows what he's doing at the plate. Doesn't really have a frame that's going to suggest he's going to grow into power necessarily.
Sure.
But I think there's power in there. He has the ability to hit for power. He just didn't show it this year. I'm not going to say he's going to be a 20-plus home run guy, probably a 10-plus home run guy. His speed on paper is a lot better than his actual speed, but he's a real center fielder, true center fielder, can play the position well. So I really like Nelson Rada a ton. Barrett Kent was a guy that really excited me when I saw him. Kind of a 3-4 pitch guy. He has kind of a show me curve that's not really, I think they're going to scrap that entirely. But a decent slider, pretty good slider. The changeup is pretty well advanced for his age. The fastball is going to play. It has really good life and action. And he's showing that he can throw strikes. Now, is it going to be it's growing into how to throw better strikes. That's going to be his thing. But I think Barrett Kent is another guy that is on that kind of Caden Dana train of he's got the body. He's got the stuff. He's got the ability to command the zone right now. But can he command it a little bit better? And when he grows into better command, I think that's another guy that's going to be a starting pitcher. And I think that's where we make the mark is how many, every organization is going to have X amount of prospects, right? But how many legitimate starting pitchers are in each organization? And I think the Angels might have two when it comes to Barrett Kent and Caden Dana.
They got plenty of relievers. That's
for yes, sure. Very much so.
Let's talk a little bit back end of the list here. We're obviously not going to go through all the names. All 30 reports are up at Baseball America, plus the 31 to 40. You can go from 11 to 40 here if you want.
Give
me a couple of sleepers or breakouts.
I'll say this. My gap from 15 to 40 was not a big gap. it's a lot of questions. It's a lot of questions about what role is this player going to fit? What upside are they going to tap into and become? So, yeah, there are guys that are probably ranked number 30 right now or even 32, 33. That next year they're going to be top 10 prospects because they've tapped into their upside. Keith Elkey is one of those guys I think is going to really kind of blossom. But the guy that I'm always going to come back to, there's three, and they're all catchers. Juan Flores, a very young Dominican catcher. He's from Venezuela, played in the Dominican last year. Dario Laverde, another young one, and Alberto Rios. Now, Juan Flores, I'm never going to throw an 80 grade on defense for a 16, 17 year old, but I really struggled putting a 7 grade on his defense. I really struggled not putting an 8 on it. He is remarkably gifted and remarkably talented behind the plate. And for his age and what he's going to become and grow into is remarkable. The arm is there and he hit a lot better than expected. And it seems like the Angels are going to try and put him at a full season affiliate to start the year this year, which for a guy that's only been in the Dominican and had questions about the bat, I love it. I cannot wait to see Juan Flores at full season affiliate. Dario Laverde is a really interesting one. Converted outfielder, so super athletic guy that's behind the plate. You could side-by-side him in almost every category, and you're looking at Edgar Caro, minus the switch hitting. He looks exactly like Edgar Caro. I would say Laverde's a little bit better behind the plate when it comes to receiving, but doesn't have the throwing motion. He's still taking the step forward. So there's a lot of kinks to keeping him behind the plate, but he's a guy that's going to hit. I really like Laverde. And Alberto Rios, I mean, played remarkably well. It's a great story from what he did during his years, 3 years at Stanford. The bullpen catcher to 8 plate appearances to start his collegiate career into Pac-12 Player of the Year. They're going to catch him. He did it at Instructs. Obviously, the last time he did it was in the bullpen at Stanford. They liked what they saw at Instructs enough to keep him behind the plate and develop him there, because he doesn't really have a defensive home. There was a lot of questions about would it be left field, third base, second base, DH only kind of guy. So if he can catch and he can hit to the ability that he's shown in the recent past, I think this is a guy that's really going to be interesting.
That's awesome. I love that story too with Rios too. One of the better stories, obviously, the last couple of years in the game. I have a name I want to throw out at you. Have you watched Camden Menace pitch?
Not yet. Well, okay. Wait. Well,
have you seen highlights? Have you ever watched?
I've not seen him in person. I'll say this: I haven't seen him in person. I watched him 25 times last year for Wake Forest. You know, whenever they were on. Yeah, I mean, dude's exciting as can be. He's
so much fun. I don't know what he's going to be. I think it's probably like a middle relief ceiling, but like
there's energy. There's like our energy, our high energy, and then there's Camden Menace's energy, which like constant. His heartbeat has to be sitting 100. I mean, he is so stinking
so
cool.
Animated after he strikes guys out awesome. Too. Like the step is just all of it.
Yeah. At the same time, he's got major league stuff. And I think he's got major league stuff. Stuff-wise, right now, he could play in the majors. Command and figuring a few things out, maybe tempering down, maybe taking that energy back down to here might do him some good things to get him to the major league. But yeah, like you said, mid-relief type based on what we're looking at. But at the same time, whether you believe it or not, closers and high-leverage relievers are wired differently, and this guy is wired very differently. So
he was a Florida prep guy. Like, yeah. He's just exciting. I've seen him a handful of times now. I always get jacked up for Menace. So
yeah. Well, I mean, you're throwing 260s on his fastball slider, both 60s plus pitches. Probably always going to be around 40 command, and that's where where do you kind of lean on that? But definitely a dude.
Yeah, if you miss some bats. All right, well, I think that is a good sort of synopsis overview of the Angels' current prospect list. Go and check that out on Baseball America. Taylor, I want to thank you for jumping on with me and talking a little Angels. Before we wrap up here, any sort of closing thoughts on the system, the organization, the direction in 2024?
I just think there's always kind of been a negative. We talked about it. There's always kind of been a negative connotation when it comes to the Angels. There is definitely a negative connotation where I just sat and said they only have 3 impact players in the system, and one of them is not even going to be a prospect less than a week into the season. They have a lot of talent. They have a lot of skill. They have a lot of very good players. Their development staff has to take that step forward and get these guys to hit their upside. And it's as simple as that. I really like all of their development staff. I really like Elmer Dessens. I think he's done wonders. I think that Andy Shostley has done wonders. You know, these are direct coaches, hands-on coaches. But you have to see an organization-wide marker of consistent development. And I think part of that, you know, we talked about Neto and Sean Will going straight to the majors kind of thing. Still Seth going straight to the majors. Sometimes you kind of have to go into a more modern development where it takes time. But I think if they take time with these kids and the development staff gets the best out of these kids, there is some real talent in this farm system. But if they don't, we're going to be saying the same thing we've been saying for a while.
And hopefully we're not. Hopefully a year from now we're jumping on this podcast again and talking about some positive developments in the farm system. For Taylor Blake Ward, I'm Jeff Ponce. This has been the Baseball America Prospect Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.